Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. A little muggy out there today, but it's very pleasant in here, thank goodness. Have a little AC issue this morning. My name is John Gentry, and it's my pleasure to welcome each and every one here this morning. If we have any guests here, we certainly appreciate seeing you and hope that you'll return and visit us again. Ask everyone, please, to just fill out the attendance pad at the end of the pew so we can record the attendance. Several announcements today. You might follow along in the back of the bulletin. Today is the beginning of this summer's Ozark Mission Project. Later on this service, we will commission the youth as they head out to Jonesboro today. And the senior high will be commissioned during the launch service as they begin their journey to Hot Springs. Let's remember to pray daily for our youth as they encounter people and spread the gospel. Immediately following this service, there will be a reception for Cindy and Pastor Doug as we honor them and send them off to Doug's new appointment at Mountainside United Methodist Church in Hot Springs Village. We all have seen Doug mature as a minister, and with his leadership skills, we know he will be loved by Mountainside as we have grown to love him and Cindy here. You will want to come say goodbye and wish them well after the service. And next Sunday, we welcome Pastor Dee Dee Roberts and Nick Schimmer with a reception at 9:30 in the WAC. We want to give them a wonderful Asbury welcome as they begin their ministry here. Lastly, volunteers are needed for Stone Soup this afternoon. If you would like to be blessed by being a blessing to others, meet Greg Stansel at Quapaw United Methodist Church at 1:30. That's at 1601 South Louisiana Street. Serving in this ministry is definitely one that will make memories. Please look at the back of your bulletin for more things happening at Asbury in the following weeks and days. So now I invite you to meet and greet as folks still come in and pass the piece of price. Please stand and follow with me the call to worship. Our church family is constantly changing. People come and go. Babies are born.
Children grow up.
Individuals move into our community and church life. May God bless these times of new beginnings. Amen. Please remain standing for the hymn of praise, Ask Ye What Great Thing I Know, on page 163.
Jesus Christ.
Please remain standing and join with me in reading of the affirmation of faith. I believe in God, Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. For the children's moment, would you come forward and meet with Miss Laura?
Well, good morning. Happy Sunday. Well, you know, I had a lot of time this last week to think about Pastor Doug's title this week. So what's next? He is leaving. That is right. That is right. But my question is that, you know, a lot of times we use that statement. It may be when we've done something wrong and mom and dad go, okay, so what's the next thing? Does that mean that your electronics are taken away? Does that mean that you don't get to have fun with your friend that afternoon and play outside? And then it also makes me think about times in the Bible where Jesus may have said to his disciples, so what's next? Is the next thing to go to the next town and preach and tell people about Jesus? Was the next step to pray to him because people in the desert were just walking around and waiting for something? And so I think a lot about that, about how, so what's next? And it came back to a big time in the Bible that we talk about all the time, about when Jesus died on the cross. So what's next? What was next for us? As people, what was next is that Jesus died for our sins. And that Jesus loved us. And so our next step is to go out and tell people about him. Just like the 12 disciples that Jesus had, his friends. So as we move on today, yes, Pastor Doug is leaving, and we are getting two new pastors. So what's next for all of us? Who has one new pastor? Oh, that's right. Okay. Bubba. Grandfather. Okay. So, what's the story for you? So, what's next for you? Is it for you to do something good? Is it good for you to read your Bible? To pray? So, what's next? That's my question for you. As that's the question that Pastor Doug has posed for us, I pose to you. What's next for you individually? Dear God, we thank you for today. We thank you for the sun that we got up to and the rest that we had last night. And what's going to happen? What's next for each of us? We just ask that you be with Pastor Doug and with Cindy as they travel on to a new adventure. Just bless them and keep them in your safe and loving arms as he goes into his new ministry and as Cindy goes into her new ministry at Mountainside. We ask this all in your son's holy name we pray. Amen.
Beautiful. As we go to God in prayer this morning, we certainly want to keep those mentioned in our bulletin. Keep them in your thoughts and prayers. Clifford Smith, Larry Brown, Pierce Blazier, Kate Southern Bridges, Becky Flynn, Theon James, and Ed Stennett. Let's go to God in prayer. Gracious God, you are so wonderful to us, your children. Today we invite your very presence into this place. Be seated on the throne we build with your praise and worship, and this morning be honored, be our honored guest. Father, you were there in the beginning, and your kingdom will never end. We have a hard time understanding this with our human minds. There are many beginnings in our lives and sadly, many endings. Today is our church. We pray for our pastor as he moves on to a place you need him. We pray for a church where great things are going to happen. We also pray for this church as we receive those you are sending that will increase our presence in this city to bless people and further your kingdom. May all churches and pastors in transition seek your face and desire nothing less than to honor you with all your heart. Lord, we continue to pray for those who are affected by the recent floods. As they begin their cleanup, use us in ways to reach and help those in need. Speak to us, use us, and bless us to be blessings to others. We pray all this in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As our ushers come down this morning, we ask that you bless us and bless our morning offering. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for the blessings, large and small, you bestow on us. May the tithes and offerings you give today be blessed by you and multiply to reach around the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please remain standing for our hymn of meditation, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less, on page 368.
Just to let you know, Angel is not real. He's really a robot. It's amazing. Well, today is my last day, if you hadn't heard about it yet. Gosh, 4 weeks? June 23rd, Pastor Doug will be his last day. And 3 weeks ago. 3 weeks from now, Pastor Doug's last day. Last week. Oh, by the way, Pastor Doug's last day. I know y'all are welcoming Pastor Doug's last day. We get stressed out by a lot of stuff, can't we? Change causes stress. Well, I could say, if you get your phones with you, there's an app for that. But I'm more familiar with the test for that. Believe it or not, the mental health industry in 1967 developed a way to quantify or to put numbers to the amount of stress that we have in our lives and the effects that it has on our health. In 1967, two psychiatrists came up with an inventory of life-changing events and ranked them in relative order of severity. Their names were Dr. Holmes and Dr. Ray, hence the name the Holmes-Ray stress test. They were very smart, they just weren't very creative. As you might think, marital issues or death of a loved one ranks at the top of the list. But did you know marriage, outstanding personal achievement, promotion at your job, and even Christmas is on the list of life's stressors? We as humans, we don't like change, do we? And we don't deal with it, whether it is good change or whether it is bad change. This morning, I'd like for us to examine a few of the instances when the disciples had to deal with some stressful change in their lives and in their ministries. I invite you to turn, if you have your Bibles with you, to Acts chapter 1, the first chapter of Acts, beginning with verse 6, and we'll go through verse 11. I pray that as these words are read aloud, as penned by Luke, that they bless you and that you hear God's voice and, Lord, in spite of me, speak through me. Acts 1, beginning verse 6. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who was taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. The word of God for the people of God. Changing jobs or vocations can be stressful, and it can have long-term health effects. But if we talk in biblical times, in the ministry of Jesus, stoning can have some pretty serious health effects as well. As I thought about some of the changes in the lives of the disciples, I wonder, beginning early, what level of stress did they experience when Jesus said, follow me? In Matthew 4, verses 18 through 22, we find Jesus calling his first two disciples. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. They immediately, or as the scripture says, at once followed Jesus. Do you think they asked themselves? Peter looked at Andrew and said, so what now? Here they were, following a guy they had never seen before, who just told them about a new way to fish. Now, any fisherman worth his salt is going to listen to a new way to fish, right, Vic? Absolutely. This was going to be a huge change for them. Whether they realized it or not, we know the disciples were going to be stressed with their change in vocation. All of the disciples, when they were called, whether they were fishermen or tax collectors or tent makers, all of them. Changing jobs, either by changing companies or maybe being promoted within a company, can be stressful. But think back. Do you remember getting a new boss? Getting a new boss actually ranks higher on the stress scale than many things on that list. You remember, you ask yourself, what's this new boss going to be like? Will they continue business as usual, or are they going to make wholesale changes? We've all been there, and getting new leadership can be very anxious for us. But just like Peter and Andrew, they followed immediately. They followed their new leader, and things turned out just fine for them. And with us, we just have to keep doing the job that we've been gifted to do. I'm going to say that again. We just need to keep doing the job we've been gifted to do. And the boss may actually turn out to be better than we ever imagined. A second emotion I know that the disciples faced was grief. Grief can also cause us to ask ourselves, so what now? Death of a spouse or a loved one can be debilitating. Ask someone who has lost a spouse, a long-term spouse, and they'll tell you they feel like they've got a hole in their heart that can't be filled. Older people have a harder time with this than the not so young. My mother comes to mind. She has a hard time every single day, she tells me. My dad's been gone for over 4 years now, but it's a hole that just can't be filled. People who are close to us leave that big hole in our lives when they die, whether they are a spouse, a child, a parent, or even a close friend. Jesus experienced emotion or grief in the same manner, the same emotion that we experience it. He experienced it when he lost many people close to him, but ever much so when he lost his cousin, John the Baptist. Here was a man who set the stage for Jesus' ministry, a man who was filled with the Holy Spirit even while he was in his mother's womb before Jesus was even born. And here was a man whose father was the first recorded man in the New Testament to be visited by an angel. That family was special. John was special to his cousin Jesus. When word got to him about John's death, Jesus undoubtedly faced and felt great sadness. While he was traveling in a boat across the lake, the boat landed. He was with his disciples. Jesus was grieved, but he saw 5,000 people, a great crowd coming at him. He fed the 5,000 men, as Scripture says. He fed the 5,000 men plus all of the women and children. Some estimate between 13,000 and 15,000 people. Jesus set his own emotions aside because the Scripture says that he felt compassion for all of them. After that, he sent his disciples ahead while he went up on the mountainside to pray. Jesus needed some alone time with the Father to grieve about his cousin and to be renewed. When we lose a friend, we grieve. We grieve. When friends move across the country, we grieve to some extent. We even grieve when we begin to lose contact with them, and that contact is part of our lives. It seems like we're missing something after that. Grieving is a natural process. But we can get through the grief if we place that emotion, we place our grief at the feet of our Heavenly Father. God knows our hearts. Let me just kind of say that in great deal of assuredness. God knows our hearts. Jesus knows our hearts and has grieved himself. He knows what it's like. If you're grieving because of a loss, there is one place you can go where you can get help. And that's the same place that Jesus went. He went to the Father. God will help you. And God is waiting. He's waiting on you. You just have to get to the place of asking yourself, so what now? You know, some of us have never really faced life and death situations. However, most of us have felt the pressure of being in a dangerous situation. Now, combat soldiers know this feeling all too well. that when they leave out that gate, they may not come back. Police, fire, and emergency responders feel the same thing. Somehow, and I can't tell you where it is, that inner strength that comes to get through and face that situation and press on in the mission, no matter what it is. Take, for instance, the disciples. And this is almost funny. You know, I've got a sick sense of humor, and sometimes I find humor in the Bible where there just isn't any. But this morning, I'm going to find some. They were with Jesus on the eastern banks of the Jordan River when news came to him that Lazarus was sick. So what did Jesus do? We're going to stay a few more days. Then Jesus decided that they were going. And he told his disciples that Lazarus was dying, and they were going back to Judea. They were going to cross over the Jordan River and go back to Judea. Now, this comes from the DWV version of the Bible, the Doug Walker version. The disciples said, "Hold up, Jesus, hold up. The last time we were over in Judea, they tried to arrest you and tried to stone you. You remember? If we go back," and this is the southern version, "it ain't going to be pretty." They kind of freaked out on Jesus, to just put it plain and simple. But there was one disciple that you'd never guess. Doubting Thomas, a bad label that he's received. Thomas looked at the situation and he made the decision of, so what? He told the rest of the disciples, "Let us go that we may die with him." He made that decision. We're going. We've all heard about the fight or flight response. Thomas's response was definitely a fight response. He was ready to do what he needed to honor Jesus no matter the cost. I wrote those words, and I had to just write these following down. I thank God that we live in a country where we don't have to fear for our lives to worship God or to do something for Jesus and not fear that we're going to be killed for it. Amen?
Amen.
Some places in the world don't have it so good. But those people know what it means to give everything to Jesus and to follow him no matter the cost or no matter where they're headed. I pray we could be so bold and answer the question in those situations the same as Thomas did. So what now? Let's go. Lastly, our text this morning has the question in it. So what now? Here are the disciples. Here are the disciples that just 2 weeks before, their world had been shattered with the crucifixion of their leader, the crucifixion of their Jesus. What would they do now? They were so stricken with grief, they had forgotten what Jesus had even told them. Then he fulfilled his words, and he rose from the grave, and he appeared to them, and he walked with them for several weeks, and talked with them, and ate with them. They must have been on cloud 9 after the resurrection. But now, they're standing on a mountaintop watching their beloved Jesus float up into heaven and disappear in the clouds. Then two angels appeared and basically asked them the question, so what now? We can expand the angel's question kind of like this. So disciples, are you going to stand here frozen with your mouths open, looking up into the clouds? And are you going to forget once again the words that Jesus told you? Ah, this time they remembered. And they went back into town just as Jesus told them to do. And they waited. And they waited. They prayed together. They ate together. And they waited together. They were together when the Holy Spirit came upon them and guided each and every one of them as they spread the good news about Jesus into all the known world at that time. I'm glad they finally listened to Jesus and did exactly what he told them to do. Here's this morning's question again, but I want you to listen intently. So what now, Asbury? Some of us are very anxious about the future, the near future, the long future of this church. There's a new pastor coming in. Will things be the same or will things change? And just like losing a close friend, you're not only losing one pastor, but you're losing two. Things are changing without our control, you might think. Things may not appear like this church is entering into a life or death struggle, but the same emotions are being felt. Is this church going to survive? Where are we going? Are we as a church going back to Judea? Before he left, Jesus told the disciples to pray and to wait. He told them to focus. I know. Focus. Doug, focus. And be patient. I implore you, everyone here in this church needs to pray. Things are changing. Pastors are changing. And friends are moving away. But there is one thing that is the same today as it will be in a month from now, as it will be in a year from now, as it will be a decade from now. And that will be you, the people. This church is about to receive its 39th senior pastor. 38 senior pastors have come, and 38 senior pastors have gone, along with countless associate pastors. Pastors are not this church. Pastors are not this church. Amen? Amen. Thank you. You are this church. It's not this building. It's you, the people. So how do you want to usher in this new era for Asbury? That's my question to you. For yourself, for you as individuals, and for you as a corporate body. It's up to you to decide. But I ask that you do so after much prayer. For each other and for your new pastoral team coming here, Pastor Didi and Pastor Nick, I ask you for you to pray for them. It's up to you to decide how you want Asbury to look and how it's going to be seen, either as a flickering flame or a bright beacon in West Little Rock. It's truly, truly up to you. What would it be like? Just think for a moment with me. What would it be like if each and every one of us exercised our spiritual gifts in a church, especially in this church? Wow. Look to God, and he will give you direction. But you have to seek him to get the answers. He is waiting on you to ask. So my final question to you, as your friend, as as a fellow choir member, as a congregation member, and then eventually as your pastor. Asbury, so what now? So what now? In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Our hymn of commitment was my pick, Amazing Grace. Thank you, Diana. Amazing Grace. If you'd like to come forward and join this church, if you're a member here and you want to make your membership drive down stakes in a church that is a loving church and will be a beacon in West Little Rock, now's the time for you to come forward, and we'll accept you by whatever means is appropriate, and I will meet you here at the front. If you'd like to spend some time in prayer, the prayer rail is always open, and it'd be an honor to pray with you if you'd like for me to do so. But let's stand, please, and sing with loud voices, Amazing Grace. Youth are going to Jonesboro for the Ozark Mission Project. Wow. I can't imagine when I was this age doing anything other than playing basketball. Yeah. This morning we have the privilege of sending each of these youth into the mission field. The mission field. They are. Okay, the adults are not standing up here, but I'm going to name them anyway. I'm going to call them out. They are Rachel Hoff, Audrey Rose, and Kendall Clower, Rachel Hoff, Aaron Stumhofer, Sydney Johnson, Audrey Rose, and Kendall Clower, along with the adults, Garrett Pritchard and Diane Wright. They will be the workers of God to the neighbors of Jonesboro, Arkansas. As a church, we have an honor. We have the honor of commissioning these young people for their task ahead. So I ask you, will you pray that your ministry will be fruitful and your relationship with God will be strengthened? Will you do your best to represent Christ and Asbury United Methodist Church in all you say and do?
With God's help, I will. I am excited about the chance to be the hands and feet of Jesus, serving those brought before me in their needs.
Will you, with God's help, as a church body, support this team with your daily prayers as they go about doing God's work? And if you will, you say, we will.
We will.
Amen. Bless you. And I just pray for you every day. And I pray that God is going to touch you with one fantastic story to come back and tell this congregation, your church family, about how God used you. All right? Thank you. Now, what I'm going to ask you to do is if you will go outside, because everybody is going to want to shake your hand and tell you, be safe and do great work for God, okay? Y'all head on out. And I know there's a lot of people in this church that has many, many different, has many birthdays, lots of them. But today I want to say a special happy birthday to Miss Pat Parsons. I asked her if it was her 49th birthday again, and she said, no, I love you so much. Pat, tell me again, what birthday is it? 95 years. And trust me, if I did something wrong, she'd tell me about it too. She's a sweetheart. I love you, Pat. Would you please stand and receive this blessing? Father, we love you so much. As John prayed earlier, you were there in the beginning, but there is no end with your kingdom. Father, this church will never end as well, because you are the church. It is not this building. It is the people in it. Father, I pray. I personally pray for this church. I pray for these people. They love you, and they want to do great things for you. I will be excited to see Asbury grow, to prosper, and to be that bright beacon in West Little Rock. We love you. We honor you, Father, so much. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.